Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Real good.
It's good to be back with you again.
Oh, it's great to be back. We had such an awesome show last week, and, you know, we always run out of time, and then it's hard to believe a whole week goes by, and we're back again. But we're in a interesting time of year now. Of course, we're always in an interesting time of year, but,
yes,
you know, sure. Everybody's getting ready for Christmas, although in our country we're not allowed to call it Christmas anymore.
Yeah, everybody's, shame on you.
Yeah, they think that they're doing holiday things.
Yeah.
And, you know, we are now in the time of Advent, which is the preparation for Christmas.
Anticipation of the Messiah.
Yes, anticipation of the Messiah. That's a good way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
And that first Advent lasted a long time, from Adam and Eve until Bethlehem.
Yes, and that's one of the things that we have really forgotten in our culture is that, you know, Advent is a time of preparing our homes, our hearts,
yes,
spiritually, that we are made as a people worthy of receiving,
yes,
being prepared to receive the Messiah.
Amen.
And is coming. And, you know, in the nation of Israel, in Jerusalem, there was a great anticipation of the coming of the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking for the Messiah. So there was much,
yeah,
there was a heightened awareness of the Messiah coming.
Yeah.
You know, and what we do, you know, for Advent is like, okay, we're going to, you know, trim the house and get a couple things cleaned up and, you know, make some nut rolls.
Put the lights outside.
Yeah, put the lights outside. Well, usually the lights are up outside after, you know, after
Labor
September
Day
or something, after Labor Day, and then they're taken down after Thanksgiving. And by the time Christmas comes, it's just dark outside, you know.
Yeah.
Like, okay, what happened to all the lights?
And you've got the people in the stores that, you know, can't say Merry Christmas. And in fact,
I say Merry Christmas.
See, just before we came here today, I happened to have a discussion with a group of people that, you know, if you remember back in Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about if you're under God's wrath, the mm-hmm. more and more sin that you do, the more and more bad things that you do, you heap up wrath on yourself for the day of judgment. And of all the things that our nation has done in the last 30, 40 years,
mm-hmm.
we've even added now that we're not going to call this Christmas anymore.
We're really piling it on ourselves.
We're not a Christian nation anymore, our president mm-hmm. says.
Yeah.
So therefore, we're having holiday season. Now, that's not President Obama's fault. It's been going on for a while.
Right.
But I just think we're heaping up more wrath on ourselves because we're taking this celebration of the birth of the Messiah, turning it back into a pagan holiday like it was in ancient Rome, and I think it's another thing that we're going to have consequences for.
And like you said, it's not, you know, honestly, if we look at ourselves honestly, are we truly a Christian nation?
Oh, he was right.
He was right. And, you know, that's the sad part about it. He's in a lot of ways, he's right.
Yeah.
Because if we are following God's word, if we are following his voice, we wouldn't be in the situation that we're in right now.
Exactly.
And we, you know, we're no different than Israel.
Exactly.
You know, they got God's law, they got his commandments,
mm-hmm.
they built a calf,
yes,
a golden calf to worship.
Mm-hmm.
Take us back to Egypt. You brought us out here, Moses, we're going to die out here. What's the matter with you?
We're tired as manna.
We're tired as manna, you know. Okay, you know, we've done the worship, and okay, what? Now give us our stuff.
Can't we have can't we have a burger?
Yeah,
can we have
like a McDonald's or something? I think Moses would have been horrified at a McDonald's or something, but anyway. But, you know, we're a lot like the Israelites because we're human beings.
Yes.
We detract from what God has asked us to do, and
exactly,
that is to follow him. And, you know, we have to have that relationship with him to live according to his laws and decrees. And Isaiah was one who was proclaiming the message that a Messiah was going to come
mm-hmm.
and redeem Israel, not just Israel from their sins, but the nations.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we ended up last week's show by saying that Messiah was going to gather the tribes of Jacob back. His mm-hmm. salvation was going to reach to the ends of the earth.
Yeah.
That the nations, meaning the Gentiles, that the coastlands, meaning the Gentiles, were going to hear him and were going to believe, and that they were going to be released from prison.
Right.
They were going to have their eyes open. These are all very poetic, messianic prophecies, mm-hmm. you know. They weren't physically blind, but they were spiritually blind.
Right.
They weren't shut up in a jail somewhere, but they were prisoners of sin.
Right.
They were prisoners of their defective lifestyles and, mm-hmm. you know, all of this. And yeah. Messiah's going to deliver them yeah. from all that.
And you know, when you're talking about that, it's like if you're in sin, you're in bondage. You're enslaved
yes.
to sin.
Right.
And, you know, Paul talks about that.
Exactly.
About being a slave to sin.
Exactly.
You know, you're a slave. He says he's a slave for Christ.
Amen.
So we have a choice between, you know, do we want to be enslaved for Christ,
mm-hmm.
for his glory,
mm-hmm.
or do we want to be a slave for sin and death?
Exactly.
And that's the real question that we ask ourselves. We shouldn't just ask ourselves that during this time of Advent, of preparation for the coming of the Messiah, but we need to ask ourselves that every day
exactly.
throughout the year and really truly reflect upon who I am and where do I stand before God and where am I? Am I listening to God? Mm-hmm. Am I preparing my heart for him? Are there the things that I do, are they pleasing in the sight of God?
Yes.
Are they worthy of being in the sight of God? Just like, you know, we talked about Moses last week. He was, mm-hmm. you know, his face was just brilliant because mm-hmm. he saw the back of God. He saw yes. the holiness of God.
Yeah.
Isaiah says, woe is me, I'm doomed because yeah. I saw the glory of God.
Yeah.
You know, and those are things that's why these readings, that's why these scripture passages are so prevalent and so important in this time of year, because it should be taking us to a deeper level spiritually of, where am I at before God?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about my neighbor. It is, but it's more about me looking at mm-hmm. my own heart.
Sure.
In a perspective of truth.
Yes.
And not just saying, oh, you know, I'm not as bad as that person over there. I don't do anything like they do.
Yeah.
That's
what yeah. I used to always say before I was a believer.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, compared to that guy, I'm way better than him.
Yeah.
Look what he's doing.
Yeah. And you know, and that's the whole premise behind Advent, that the season that the church gives, is that it's in anticipation of
mm-hmm.
receiving the Messiah. It's a time of preparation. It's a time of cleansing. It's a time of purification. It's a time of being made, you know, pleasant in the sight of God that,
yeah.
Okay, Lord, I'm ready to meet you.
Yeah. And we don't usually think of it this way, but when you think about this, the first Advent lasted from the day Adam and Eve fell until the day Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
That's very true.
Yeah. And then as soon as Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, you could say the second Advent started.
Mm-hmm.
And now for the last 2,000 years, we know he's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was reading a book about Jewish rabbis who were not believers in Jesus and were actually very much against that, you mm-hmm. know, thinking that Jesus was for Gentiles, not for Jews.
Right.
And one rabbi, I think sarcastically said that he has one question for the Messiah when he comes. And the question is this your first time here or have you been here before? But he's not going to ask it that flippantly when he actually sees the Messiah come back.
Yeah, if he can ask it at all.
If he can ask it at all.
And you know, you bring up a very good point, because I once in a while, you know, there's conversations that I have and I will hear somebody say a statement or a comment like that. I'm going to ask the Lord this and
yeah, right.
I'm going to say this and I'm thinking,
yeah.
Have you read the book of Isaiah?
Yeah.
Have you read chapter 6 where he was, you know?
Yeah, you're not going to say anything.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. Or I'm going to say to him, I didn't think it was fair that you did this.
Yeah.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Once you get up, you know, then you might have the opportunity to say something to him.
Exactly.
And then he might say something back to you that you might not like, so... might just take, you know.
Yeah, but this anticipation, I think, you know, you used a good word there. It was anticipation. And mm-hmm. when we did our study on the Book of Romans, whenever that was, a few radio shows about the Book of Romans, in, you know, chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, Paul talks about Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And he says in chapter 9, I think it is, of all the stuff that they had, all the revelations, all the law, all the prophecies, all the things that they had, and they even knew roughly when the time of Messiah was going to be, they should have been the first ones to say, hey, here's the Messiah.
Here he is.
And they're still not saying that 2,000 years later. Yeah. But we talked last week quite a bit about the prophet Isaiah and mm-hmm. how he doesn't write just like some dopey little book. He writes like this really big book. And, you know, his word processor was pretty full by the time he was done with this. And then
he has a lot more chapters than Joel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Joel, Isaiah, he could put Joel in his back pocket. Oh, no. Sorry, Joel.
I'm getting you in trouble.
I know. Anyway. I know. Stephen thinks I'm going to get in trouble with some of these people when I get to heaven.
Yeah, I'll probably be first in line before you.
I don't know. I'm just worried about Peter because he's probably going to be right at the gate. Everybody says, you know, Peter's right at the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I can, like, kind of slither around him or hide behind something.
No, you can't.
No.
You have to go through the gate.
I figure I can get by Joel, but Peter, I don't know. Then you got those dopey Galatians. That's another story. But anyway, Isaiah is not dopey. See, hear that, Isaiah? I'm getting on his good side. He'll come over and protect me.
Oh, wow.
And I even know his Hebrew name is Yeshayahu. So he'll even like that. Anyway. But he, you know, during this Advent time, and it's, you know, we're not being disrespectful by laughing and making jokes because, you know, we have the joy of the Lord and the Lord likes us to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And although Joel doesn't see it that way.
Anyway. No.
See, I can't help myself. But anyway, Isaiah really puts forth so many of the messianic promises and prophecies. And last week we talked about how the Gentiles were going to be included in the kingdom and that it wasn't just for Israel and that Messiah would bring the tribes of Jacob back to him and plus the Gentiles and the salvation mm-hmm. was going to be over all the world. And
we're
going to see this happen. And if you look around the way things are going in the world, we may see this happen in our lifetime where Israel will be converted. All the other nations will be converted and we'll have an awesome messianic kingdom. Isaiah really talks about this, and let's look at Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. Do you have that handy? Mm-hmm. Cool, let's read that.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, release to prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord, and a day of vindication by our God, to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness instead of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a faint spirit.
Mm.
They will be called oaks of justice, the planting of the Lord to show his glory.
Whoa.
Wow.
Now, this may sound a little familiar to you because Jesus quotes this when he's at the synagogue in Nazareth.
That must have been an awesome time in the synagogue.
Yeah. How would you like to be Jesus's rabbi? That guy is like, ooh. So anyway, we know that Jesus for many, many years went every Saturday morning, every Shabbat to the synagogue in Nazareth because
mm-hmm.
that's where he grew up.
Right.
So he was a little boy, went to the synagogue, probably would have been bar mitzvahed, would have mm-hmm. made the pilgrimages to the temple.
Right.
As we know, when he was 12, he was there. And so
they left him behind. And,
And we know that he would have gone every week, every Shabbat to the synagogue. So there would have been, during that time, you know, one or several leaders of the synagogue, teachers.
Right.
They weren't really well, I mean, they were rabbis, but the priest and the leaders would have encountered him and might have said, well, this kid's really pretty smart, or this kid seems to have something these other kids don't have, and we never have to make him go to church or anything. He's always here. And, you know, his mother never has to say, look, we're going. I don't care what you say. But anyway, so then when he comes as an adult and his ministry's already started, he comes back to his synagogue in Nazareth. Mm-hmm. Now he gets picked to be a reader. And this was pretty cool. If you've ever been to a synagogue, whether it's a traditional synagogue or even a messianic synagogue, somebody comes up to read the readings. And then they give you, they give a very short teaching, usually a few minutes, not more than, you know, an hour and a half, because then the rabbi's got to teach. But they usually give a very short teaching called a drash, which is an explanation of the reading. So this particular Shabbat, Jesus gets picked to read. And the reading, interestingly enough, this would be the second reading, because this is not in the Torah. This is in the this is called a Haftorah reading, because it's a prophecy. It's from the book of one of the prophets, Isaiah, in this case. So Jesus gets picked to read, interestingly, this passage that Stephen just read. And you can find that in the book of Luke. And he reads it probably with such impact and with such power that it says he rolled up the scroll and everyone was looking at him, kind of hushed, quiet, because they were waiting to see what he had to say. And it says he gave the scroll back to the attendant, and he says, today in your hearing, this scripture has been fulfilled. So for a few seconds, there's silence, because they know what he just said. He just said, I'm the Messiah. He just said, I'm fulfilling everything that the prophet Isaiah wrote about the Messiah. All that stuff was about me. And you guys that are here today, and these would have been men he was reading to, because the women would have been in a separate room. He would have said, he was saying, without saying it, you guys that are here in this room have gotten to hear the fulfillment of all this stuff that the prophet Isaiah wrote 700 and some years ago. Woo. I love this song. Here's Paul Wilbur again. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in just a minute. King of Israel, Lord of all that's king, in the midst of us, he is mighty. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing. Rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. For the Lord your God in the midst of you, mighty is his name. Rejoicing over you with songs of gladness, singing joyfully, he will save us. Rejoice, rejoice, daughter of Zion, shout aloud, Israel, sing. Rejoice with all your heart, O Jerusalem. Roni, 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 Batio, Hariu, Israel, sing. Zivat, sing, Nechoyer, Bat Yerushalayim.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. That's an awesome song. That is from the book of Zephaniah.
Yes, that is an awesome song. And Paul sings it very well.
Yeah, and while that song was playing, I tell you, Stephen and I were dancing around the room. Actually, we kind of felt like dancing around the room. But anyway, and I can tell you that Stephen won't say this because he's too modest and doesn't like to boast, but he can play this music extremely well on his guitar, And with he and his wife Sandy singing it, it sounds, well, almost as good as Paul Wilbur.
Yeah, Paul might be listening.
I don't want him getting mad at me, too.
Yeah.
I'm in enough trouble with Joel and all those other guys.
Yeah. you won't call it Greg Wayne at the gates for you either.
But, yeah, that's from the book of Zephaniah. We were just talking during the break while we were listening to the song and dancing around the studio that maybe sometime after New Year's we should do a show just based on that song.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
About the Lord taking all their punishment.
Yeah. I mean, that has a tremendously interesting prophecies in it. The Lord's going to take your punishment. You're going to destroy your enemies.
Yeah, I mean, you know, King of Israel.
Let's do the show now.
Yeah, really. You know, King of Israel, Lord of all is he.
Yeah.
In the midst Lord of all is he.
Exactly.
Wow. Woo. Powerful.
And so when Jesus quotes this Isaiah 61, that's in Luke chapter 4, isn't it? I think it's Luke chapter 4.
Luke chapter 4, yes, it is. It's in chapter 4. I think it's verse 18 he starts up. Yeah.
So he quotes what are messianic prophecies. We talked a little bit about this. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spirit is upon me. Earlier in the book of Isaiah, we talked about how he says, God says, I'm going to pour my Spirit on my servant.
Right.
So here he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, me capitalized, because the Lord has anointed me. You know, this is anointing means Holy Spirit. I'm going to preach good tidings to the poor. I'm going to heal the brokenhearted. You know, these are things that are spiritual as well as physical.
Right.
And, you know, we have to keep that in mind of Christianity is physical as well as spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't ignore somebody who's in desperate need and say, well, you know, I see you're in desperate need and you don't have anything to eat and you don't have any blankets, but can I teach you what the prophet Isaiah said?
Well, keep warm and well fed. Good luck.
Exactly.
Somebody talks about that.
James.
James, that's right.
When we get to heaven, we can call him Jim, but now we call him James. Anyway. Oof. Tough audience. Anyway. So, then, you know, he says to heal the broken heart, proclaim liberty to captives. Now, there's a lot about this, and then the next line is opening prisons. Mm. To those that are bound. And this, of course, here he's talking about sin. He's not talking about people who are literally in prison or literally in captivity somewhere, although it can be that too.
Right.
But you're going to be freed from that. You're going to be freed even from your sin nature that kind of hangs on you.
Yeah.
And at any moment, you know, may take over your life for a brief period of time. I mean, it's always kind of hanging on you.
Yeah.
And I can't remember who it was. I heard an interesting thing on the radio a few weeks ago where...
On the Gift of Grace radio show?
No, a different radio show. Okay. Somebody was quoted as saying when they get up in the morning, they would always say a little prayer. And I can't remember the guy's name, but let's say it was Jack.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's prayer would be, oh, Lord... Watch out for Jack today because he'll turn on you in a second. Because our sin nature is always hanging on us.
Yeah.
And in this passage, it says he's going to give liberty from that. He's going to open the prison doors so you don't have to be a prisoner to sin.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, of course, make a way that if you do fall, if you do shut yourself up back in the prison for a while, you can repent and come back out.
Right.
You're not going to be condemned. And it's an acceptable year of the Lord. This is the concept of the Jubilee.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Which is in the Torah, the first five books, the five books of Moses, the first five books of the Bible is what I mean to say. But, you know,
There's more than five books of Moses?
No.
Oh,
there's five.
Okay. All right. Okay. A little confused there for a second.
Oh, no, Joel wasn't.
No,
with
Joel
Moses.
Only has five chapters. No, he only has four chapters.
Has
I'm sorry.
Three. He doesn't even know how many chapters he has, so I'm not going to worry about it.
We better get back on task here.
Yeah, so this acceptable year of the Lord was the 50th year.
Because,
you know, you had a Shabbat every 7 days, then every 7 years you had a big Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And then after seven cycles of seven, the next year was the Jubilee.
Yeah.
And all the debts were forgiven. So like if you got a Visa card a year before, you could run it up to the credit limit and then it would be forgiven. Wow. So yeah, so it was pretty
That's
cool.
Awesome.
Oh yeah, all the credit cards were paid off, and slaves were freed, and people were let out of prison, because the Jubilee was another chance of getting you out from under your burdens.
Mm-hmm.
So when Isaiah writes that, and when Jesus quotes it, what they're actually saying is the messianic promise is that Messiah gives you another chance, mm-hmm. and not just a second chance. He gives you a 598th chance, a 6,492nd chance. I mean,
a 2,365,000.
Yeah, depending how long you live, you keep getting more chances. But this is why he quotes this, and it's, you know, it kind of gets the sin off your back. It gets the debt off your back. You know, that Moses wrote about it in terms of if you owe somebody money, the debt's forgiven.
We're in need of a jubilee.
Exactly.
That would be nice. 16 trillion forgiven.
That's right. Let's suggest that.
I think we should put a note in the suggestion box.
I suggest they fall to their knees and pray and repent.
Amen.
And then maybe a jubilee will come. But and look, it's going to comfort people that mourn. It's going to give them beauty instead of ashes.
Yes.
Because the point of this messianic promise is, you deserve ashes, but you get beauty.
Because they would sit in sackcloth and ashes.
That's right.
And repent of their sins.
Exactly.
Right? Like
but you get, Jonah.
Jonah, yeah.
You get beauty instead of ashes. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You get oil of joy instead of mourning.
Yeah.
The oil of joy is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You get oil of gladness instead of mourning.
Right.
So instead of being totally downcast and condemned and feel, you get the joy of the Lord because the Spirit now dwells in you.
Exactly.
As Paul talks about too. And you get a garment of praise. That reminds me of a song.
Yeah.
You get a garment of praise instead of this heavy, horrible stuff that you really deserve.
Robin Mark sings that.
Yeah.
Garments of praise.
I mean, when you think about it, you get covered with this garment of righteousness when there's really not much about you that's righteous. You get the garment of righteousness because of what Messiah does. So this is the point of this messianic prophecy. And then it says there, it's so that God can be glorified.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, everything is going to point to God's glory. And you know, just the being forgiven of all your sins. I will remember your sins no more.
Mm.
You know,
white as snow.
I'll wash you as white as snow. Even though your sins be as scarlet, you'll be washed as white as snow. It's all about being restored, made new.
Yeah.
And the Jubilee points to that all
this. Yes.
Yeah.
Woo.
Wow. That's just awesome. That's the good news.
That's the good news.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's so... And this is why it's good to study the Old Testament, because then when you go to church some Sunday morning and somebody says, okay, today's gospel is Luke chapter 4, Jesus is in the synagogue and they hand him a scroll and he says this, and everybody says, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you actually read it in Isaiah, then you think about him saying it, you say, wow, Isaiah prophesied it 700 and some years later. The Messiah reads the exact prophecy, and then he says to these people that are there, now this has been fulfilled today while you're hearing it.
Yeah.
Isaiah didn't even see the Messiah.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus said all kinds of prophets, all kinds of people wanted to hear what you hear, see what you see.
Yes.
They didn't.
Yeah, I was just thinking about when you said that. Yeah. They would have longed to see what you see and longed to hear what you hear, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he probably said, now aren't you guys glad you came to synagogue today? Instead of sleeping in or...
Oh, my. Well, you know, and understanding the prophets and understanding the covenants and all that God is doing through the covenants and through the prophets to proclaim the message of salvation, to unfold his plan of salvation that... He would prepare a people for himself,
mm-hmm.
and that they would be a light to the nations.
Amen.
And that the Messiah would come through them, mm-hmm. through the tribe of Judah, mm-hmm. but that it would be for all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, and again, it's by God's plan, it's by God's decrees. It's not really by much that we did.
That's right.
Whether we're Jew or Gentile, not really by much that we did.
That's right.
Because most of the time we transgressed.
Yes.
And God even says, in spite of, and I'm going to do this in spite of your transgressions for the sake of my holy name.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, it wasn't your righteousness that's causing me to do this.
That's right. He is saving you for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
Because then he says, my salvation goes throughout the world, to the ends of the world, to all these people, and it's for my glory.
Mm-hmm.
So that when all these people are gathered, when we're in heaven and we're praising and sing, and by the way, I'll be able to sing then.
On key?
Exactly.
Everyone will be able to sing on key.
That's right. Even me. I like to think I'll have hair too. But anyway.
I hope I will too.
This is all done because of the kingdom.
Yeah.
And because all things are taken up in Christ and then he presents it to the Father as the kingdom. And it all goes for his glory, because if we were so amazingly righteous that he owed us salvation, then we could say, well, I'm here because I earned my way in. But since none of us can earn our way in, all these prophecies talk about how this is for his glory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poof.
It's just, yeah, it's amazing. And I was looking for where God says it's not because of his holy, or not because of anything we've done, but for the mm-hmm. sake of his holy name. I can't remember what that's at. But as the prophets, you know, as the prophets are hearing God speak, they're called to deliver and give that message.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a message that they give, whether it's convenient or mm-hmm. not,
right.
whether it's whether it's heard or not, mm-hmm. their job is to give the message.
Yes.
Whether it's going to be received or not is not their concern. It shouldn't be their concern. But it's that God's word is proclaimed.
Yes.
You know, because God's word is truth, it's alive, and it brings forth life.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to accomplish the will for which he sent it.
Exactly.
And Isaiah talks about that.
Right. And like we commonly say among ourselves and on the show and everywhere, it's not about us. It's true. It's not about us. When you proclaim the gospel to somebody who sits there looking at you like you just beamed down from Jupiter, and then they walk out of the room saying, what a nut job. Or they say right to your face, that's crazy what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say, no, wait a minute, I'm not crazy. I'm actually really smart. And let me tell you, no, that's not the right reaction, because it's not about us.
Right.
Because if the guy calls you crazy to your face or goes outside and says, what a kook, it shouldn't matter to us. It's like Paul says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation. And if he can call Jeremiah and you name the person, he called them. We'll talk about Jeremiah in a minute. But if he can call Isaiah, if he can call Peter, if he can call all these people who are, you know, typical human beings that are a mess. I mean, these guys are a mess. And then say, well, I'm going to send you to do this. He can send us to preach the gospel, but it's for his glory. It's not about our glory.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're talking about just typical human beings, if we look back to 1 Kings in chapter 19, verse 9.
Yeah.
I'll read this. It says, there he came to a cave where he took shelter, but the word of the Lord came to him, why are you here, Elijah? He answered, I have been most zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, but the Israelites have forsaken your covenant. They have destroyed your altars and murdered your prophets by the sword. I alone remain, and they seek to take my life. Then the Lord said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. The Lord will pass by. There was a strong and violent wind rending the mountains and crushing rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire, a light, silent sound. When he heard this, Elijah hid his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, "Why are you here, Elijah?" Wow.
That's awesome.
Man.
Yeah. Elijah was another great prophet. We're not going to talk about too much about him because I don't remember if we did a show about that or not, but you can go check out in the archives at giftsofgraceministries.org and see if there is one there. I don't remember. But anyway, Elijah did this great thing on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of a song.
Yeah.
And Stephen does an awesome job of singing that song called Lord God of Abraham. And this fantastic guy then gets scared. You know, he calls down fire from heaven for crying out loud. He calls down fire. How many pastors have you seen do that?
Consumes,
he calls down fire.
And the fire consumes the whole sacrifice.
Yeah, the whole thing is like everything consumed. All the people say, oh.
Even the rocks.
Even the rocks. And, the people fall down and say, the Lord, he is God. So you would think that when you witness something like that and you had something to do with it, you would say, hey, this was awesome. But, somebody says, let's kill that guy. Queen Jezebel says, let's kill that guy, Elijah. He says, I'm out of here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to, oh man, they're going to kill me. This is scary. Yeah. And he runs 200 miles away. He goes all the way to Beersheba and he's hiding in a cave. And, these are human beings, just like us. These are human beings. And he was called to be there at that time. And there was a faithful remnant of 7,000 people. Now that sounds like a lot of people. But if there were 3 million Israelites, 7,000 people is not a lot of people. That's a very small percentage of the population. So if there were 3 million Israelites and 7,000 of them were actually faithful, that is a remnant.
Mm-hmm.
And God said to him, I have people, just like he said to Paul, I have people in the cities, so just go back in there. And these people are called not of their own strength. I mean, we see how much strength Elijah has. He ran away and hid in a cave. We see how much strength any of these guys, I mean, you can name almost every person in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're used in very mighty ways because it's for God's glory, not theirs.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, we tend to think that we have to be like strong and,
Yeah.
We just have to be available.
Yes. That's right.
Really. I mean, we just have to be available. Certainly we want to study God's word and reflect upon God's word. And we have to we have to love the Lord with our own heart, but it's God's power and it's God's might. And he can take the weakest person in the eyes of a human being and work his majesty through them.
Yes.
And that's for God's glory.
Absolutely.
And I think sometimes we forget that this is about God's glory, not our, not my glory, not your glory. But it's about God's glory and God being glorified.
Mm-hmm.
And, just the message that we're being given to proclaim here about the coming of the Messiah and all these, all these wonderful prophecies that have taken place. And, Jesus reading the scroll, reading the passage and saying, this has been fulfilled in your hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were there that day, wow.
Well, that's why for a little bit they were speechless. Then they said, wait a minute.
Wait,
we know who this guy is.
Yeah.
We know his mother and his father.
Wasn't he the one in the temple that got left behind when he was 12?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's another good example of the consistency of the scripture from beginning to end, how the plan of salvation unfolds, and how that other passage that we read last week in Isaiah also, that God says, before I do anything, I'm going to tell you about it.
Yes.
So it's not going to be a surprise that I'm the Messiah and I'm going to do these things because I already talked about it once.
Exactly.
Go back and read Isaiah.
Yeah, exactly.
Get another commentary. Ooh, it's a break. This is awesome, too.
Ooh.
Remember, giftofgraceministries.org. You can find a lot of stuff there. You can search for us on Facebook. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back, everyone, to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. We're in the last segment of the show, and I think there's a whole bunch more stuff about that we could say from the book of Isaiah about this Advent season as we approach Christmas and the birth of the Messiah, but since we only have 8 or 9 minutes left, maybe we'll save that till next week.
We better talk fast. No, yeah. We'll wait till next week.
Yeah, I happen to have Isaiah's word processor here, and I'm finding some more stuff.
Okay.
Anyway, I think, you know, since we've been talking about covenants, we've been talking about what Messiah was going to do, we've been talking about law to grace and all these things we talk about, I think we should mention another major prophet, Jeremiah, who's one of my personal favorites. He's the wailing prophet. He wrote the book of Jeremiah and Lamentations. And Lamentations is pretty good for somebody who's a wailing prophet. I mean, this guy's always whining. Oh, and everybody's lamenting. Saying, oh, Jeremiah, stop whining. Can't you, like,
you're bringing everybody down.
Yeah, can't you tell us something happy?
Yeah, we hear a lot of that today. Can't you guys just tell us something happy? We get cards and letters all the time. Yeah. No, I'm only joking.
But Jeremiah in chapter 31, Steve, why don't you read 31 through 34. This is good stuff.
Jeremiah 31, 34. Oh, I got to find 31. Jeremiah. Hold on.
Yeah, chapter 31, verse 31 through 34.
Okay. Chapter 31?
Chapter 31.
And then verse?
And then verse 31 through
34. Okay. Okay. See, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors, the day I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. They broke my covenant, though I was their master, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will place my law within them and write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will no longer teach their friends and relatives, know the Lord. Everyone from least to greatest shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive the iniquity, their iniquity, and no longer remember their sin.
Woo.
Wow.
All right. So now,
blot it out.
Yeah. Now, this is our friend Jeremiah. Now, he's writing in the 500s BC. This is just before Jerusalem's destroyed by the Babylonians, which was 586 BC, so he wrote this a little bit before. I happen to also have his word processor here. Actually, I have the disc he put it on.
Okay.
But anyway, that's where I got this. But, you know, it's interesting because the covenant, now remember who he's talking to. He's in Jerusalem. He's talking about a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you would have been there listening to him, you'd have said, what's the guy talking about new covenant?
Yeah.
We got the law. We got all the stuff. I look over there and I see the temple. I look over there and I see all the priests walking around. I look over there and I see all the stuff that God tells us we have to have. We're doing the covenant stuff now. So this guy's coming around saying, there's going to be a new covenant? This would not have really made any sense to them.
Right.
But this is an amazing messianic prophecy because what he's talking about here is God says, I'm going to make a new covenant. It's not going to be like the other covenant. I gave them a covenant. I brought them out of Egypt and I made this covenant with them. And they didn't really do this. They didn't really obey. They didn't really follow the covenant. They broke it, even though I was their master.
Mm-hmm.
They broke it. But now I'm going to make a new covenant because now we're going to have a law in their mind and on their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of unrolling the scroll and say, let's see what God said about what you do with this donkey if he walks this way instead of that way,
mm-hmm.
and you know all these other things that are in there, it's going to be in your mind and it's going to be in your heart.
Right.
They're going to be my people. I'm going to be their God. You won't have to say to somebody, know the Lord anymore, because you're going to know him.
Mm-hmm.
This is unheard of.
Yeah.
You're going to personally know the Lord once you come into this covenant.
Yeah.
It's not going to be stone tablets and incense and, you know, veils. You're going to personally know him.
Yeah.
And everyone is going to know, whether the least to the greatest. So whether you're the king or whether you're cleaning the floors at the YMCA or whether you're farming out in some field, doesn't matter whether you're least or whether you're great, you're going to know him.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the new covenant. And then look at that last sentence is, I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more.
Yeah.
So yeah. They're going to violate the covenant. I'm not going to remember that.
I mean, that's the good news.
Yeah, that's the good news. They're going to do bad things. I'm not only going to forgive it, but I'm not going to remember it. So when you say, hey, Lord, remember what Phil did that day? They say, I don't remember that. Remember what Joe over there did that day?
See, you're in
I
the,
don't remember that.
You're in the clear when you get to heaven, then.
That's right. He's not going to remember about this Joel thing. He's not going to remember it.
Oh, man.
But gonna that say, is... He's going to say, what dopey Galatians?
But that is the good news that, you know, and we're talking about the Jubilee.
Yeah.
It's the greatness of God's mercy.
Yeah, amen.
And just, you know, it's just indescribable that God's going to remember our sins no more.
Yeah.
And we tend to, I think, sometimes preach that, you know, God is going to remember our sins, that we're going to, you know, that we're going to get all the, you know, we are going to get punishment. If we don't repent of our sins, we certainly will be judged by God. But if we turn our hearts to God, he will turn his heart towards us and blot out, you know, and for not even remember any of our sins.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the good news.
That is the good news.
I mean, when you say that, it's the perfect example of the new covenant is the gospel and it's good news.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah is the mediator of the new covenant. Moses was the mediator of the old covenant and there was all the stuff there. That's why it's called the Mosaic Law. Jesus is the mediator of the new covenant, and the covenant is sealed in his blood.
In his blood.
And because of that, the iniquities are forgiven. They're not remembered. They're made white as snow. You know, they're buried in the deepest part of the ocean.
Yeah.
They're put, whatever you want to say, they're gone.
Yeah.
This is the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the gospel.
Yeah. It's a... You know, it's just the awesomeness of God's mercy.
Whew.
It's just the awesomeness of God's mercy. This was probably Jeremiah's one of his most famous, you know, prophecies.
Yeah.
Probably one of the people liked the most.
Yeah, and then looking at this, I have to say, too, that there are many, many Christians, and there have been many Christians through the centuries that have said, well, you know, God's done with the Jews. Yep, done with the Jews. Mm-hmm. You know, 70 AD, washed his hands of them, done with the Jews. Mm-hmm. The church is the new Israel. But in that same chapter, Jeremiah 31, starting at 35, thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from me, says the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me. Thus says the Lord, if the heaven above can be measured and the foundation of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all they have done, says the Lord. In other words, he's not going to forget his promises to them, and he's not going to discard them.
Right, because a covenant is an oath.
Yes.
And an oath is more than a promise.
Yes.
It's more than a contract. An oath is something that's eternal.
Yes.
And God swears an eternal oath.
Yes.
I will be faithful.
Yes.
And if God's not faithful to his word, we're in deep trouble.
Because then you don't know which promises he's going to keep, yeah, or which ones he's not.
You know, you're dealing with, you know, we would be dealing like with laws of man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, a jury can find this person innocent, mm-hmm, this person guilty. You know,
yeah,
but with God, it's absolute truth.
That's right.
And his word is, yeah, eternal. His word is absolute.
Yeah.
And it's truth.
Yes. And going back to our, whoa, I guess we're not going back to anything. Anyway, it's been great being with you. We're going to pick this up again next week because this is awesome. Well, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day. Come back again next week.
And we just pray that you would seek the Lord with all your heart, prepare for his coming, and God bless everyone. Have an awesome week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.